a reunion, Rav Ami told a amusing story that once at a get-together in NYU, Ravina got together with a few alumni, and they got up to dance and punked. That means the fellow's luck. Ravina was holding the hand of a boy who hadn't spoken to Ravina the entire year when he was in yeshiva. And they're going around and dancing. And all of a sudden, they were dancing on carpet. There was an electric shock that went through everybody. And Ravina went, "Ooh!" And he looked at the fellow. I had that also, that similar type of emotion. I was standing in the supermarket, and all of a sudden, I smelled Ravina right next to me. Somehow, the power of smell, the koach hareach, is one of the most powerful kochos that a human being has. I'd like to discuss that power of smell. Bezer Hashem, ask a few questions about it. See what it has to do with Rosh Hashanah, and maybe follow up on the beautiful sicha that Rav Ron had given last week, and see what lessons it has for us in the beginning of our avodah, at the beginning of the zman. Clearly, the koach ha'af, the koach of the nose, is one of the most potent kochos, not only in terms of association. In fact, I joke that maybe, you know, Talmidim sometimes take a picture of their Rebbe to be mechazik themselves when they go out to the world. So maybe you should take a little bit of the cologne. Whenever there's a Yetzer Faver, to take a sniff a little bit of the cologne. That association is often even stronger than the association of sight. And we all know that the nose is the source of all life. Breath. What is it about breath and reyach that's so significant? Ad kidei kach in halacha, we find that the nose is extremely important. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us, if you want to identify a dead body, Mishnah in Yevamos tells us at the end, a person is identified by his nose. The most identifiable feature of an individual is his nose. If the nose is on the face, so then you could identify the person as a dead person and his wife can remarry. If the nose is missing, even if he has all other features, so then, still, the person is not entirely identifiable. So what is it? Rav Ron last week mentioned the unique component of shofar, that the unique component of shofar is that it strips away dibur. It strips away all excuses, and we get back to our source. We get back to our source, which is the call, the inner cry of a person. But what is it about blowing? What is it about blowing into the shofar? Can't we find a different way of creating that call? What is it about the koach ha'af, the koach ha'nishima, that's so critical in the blowing of the shofar? And finally, the last question is, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, blow in front of me shofros, kedei shetamlichuni aleichem, in order to coronate me. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need us to make him king? HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us to turn him into the melech? So four questions, two of them about the nature of the nose, the centrality of nose, and the other two about shofar. Number one, why is it that Rav Ron had developed from the Kedusha Slave, you need to strip away the dibur, but why is it done through the koach haneshima, through breath? And does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really need us to coronate him as king? The answer to all those above questions is that there's something unique about the koach haneshima. Medrash Tanchuma says that breath is eino bershuso shel adam. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us is ki'ilu on loan to us. It becomes ours. But a person has the least amount of control of his koach haneshima. And we all know that is exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that Nishmas Chayim, the source of the Neshama, is through the Koach Ha'af. So maybe that explains why that becomes the identifiable feature of the person. A person's most important component is not his blue eyes. The most important feature of the person is the nose, which represents that Neshama, which represents that link with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hence, when the kol is being created, the kol is created not by simply making a noise, but what is coming out is a sound which reflects the neshama of the individual. And that's what Rosh Hashanah's avodah of Tkiyah Shofar is about. The avodah of the Tkiyah Shofar is the expression of reconnecting with that bechina of neshama. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, I'll go a step further. And now we'll understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us to coronate him as a king. Every single one of us here doesn't realize the tremendous potential that he has. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner in the beginning of Nefesh HaChayim that man, through his Koach HaNeshama, has a godliness inside of him that he affects kaviyachol, and we need to discuss this in more detail in the future, Nefesh HaChayim, but he could kaviyachol affect the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sur Yilad Chateshi, Reb Chaim Volozhiner expounds on the idea that man could affect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koach. And the answer is yes. God needs man to coronate him in this world. And it's done through the Koach HaNeshama, when man realizes that he has a Chelek Eloka Mimal, and that's what's going to create the call, then man begins to strengthen HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Koach Kaviyachol. What a very powerful tool. What a powerful tool that we could realize that our potential for greatness is the key for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gilui on this world. And if we fall, then God forbid we diminish HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koach. Four basic lessons that apply to that. Number one, is there no greater message of self-esteem than that? That we're not just simply a creation of intelligence, of flesh and bones, but rather you and I have the ability through our Koach HaNeshama that links us up. The Chaim Volozhiner could be described simply as a rope that goes from our nose up to heavens, that we affect up there in all of the olamos. The Gadlus HaAdam, the Koach HaAdam. But Rabosai, so many times in our generation, so many times, particularly in the information age, that component has been entirely stifled. Once upon a time, there were great authors. There was Louis May Alcott. There was Mark Twain. Why is it that today's literature doesn't compare to the literature of the 19th century? All college professors are asking that question. What happened? What changed? And what changed was the power of imagination began to be stifled with the advent of television, movies, and internet. The ability to imagine that I am so much more than my present situation today is something that has stifled this generation outside of religion. The ability to be medame, to create that imagination that I am so much greater than I really am right now, that there's a koach eloka mimal, that the sky is the limit, that Kodesh Baruch Hu's kochos are infused inside of me. That koach hadimyon, that ability to imagine that I could learn so much more than I've been learning now, that I could daven in a way that I haven't davened up until now, that my chesed could be in a totally different realm, that's been entirely lost. And that's entirely lost because we've lost the ability to be able to see ourselves with that koach haneshama. We have to really, really think how much have we really imagined that how far that neshama could go. That's from the perspective of Gadlus HaAdam. How great we could be. And how we have to demand ourselves to go beyond the tempers of present society. But now let's think about this koach and its relation to Shiflus HaAdam. Sometimes how low we could fall. How many of us have looked at our Avodas Hashem, and pardon the pun, in terms of black and white? How many of us have looked at our Avodas Hashem in cut and dry, chitzoniostik forms? The kol shofar, the rationalization that Reb Levi Yitzchak, that Reb Ron spoke about, needs to fall away. It's not only the rationalization of Dibur, but it's also the rationalization which relates to the Chitzon as opposed to the Pnimi. As far as I'm concerned, the best Talmud that comes out of Yeshiva is the Talmud that looks like he did when he came in, but his Pnimi is an under a Pnimi. His inside is a totally different inside. He's a totally different person. That's a Shinui. That's a change. That's the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah, the Avodah HaNeshama. And the Dibur is often associated with rationalizations that relate to the Chitzon. And the Shiflus Adam, the lowliness of man, focuses on those shortcomings. We have to get back to the Neshama, the Chelek Eloka Mimal, where we look at Avodah Hashem in the Pnimius. But that's not only in terms of the way we look at the world sociologically, but it's also the way in which we look at our own Avodas Hashem. Even things that relate already in the Beis Medrash, that seem to be themselves mitzvos, tefillah, Talmud Torah, the Yetzirah is so great in trying to take the Avodah away from the Pnimius and put it back into the Chitzon. I want to tell you a story. The story begins in the early 1950s. Many of you are, some of you here, are from Chicago and went to one of the two yeshivas in Chicago, either Ida Crown or Skokie, which has a rivalry. My father, maybe well, went to the yeshiva when it was still on the south side, when Ida Crown and Skokie were the same yeshiva. It's called Beit Medrash LeTorah, I believe. Those Talmidim who were in that yeshiva during that period of time speak about the glory days. Rev. Beryl Wine has written an article about it, that yeshiva was unique. It'll probably be never recreated again. In those classrooms, on the one hand, they had co-ed studies for secular studies. On the other hand, there were sons of Rebbes, sons of Rosh Yeshivas. Some of the greatest Rosh Yeshivas from Europe were saying shir in that yeshiva. It was an absolute conglomerate, the most heterogeneous group of Jewish education that probably existed in the last 60 or 70 years. Rabbi Wein was there. Many, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel learned there. I'd like you to take a look back, for those of you who went to Chicago, I don't know if there's records of this, but look back who the valedictorian in 1953 in Beit Medrash LeTorah in Skokie was now it's called Skokie, or it's called Ida Crown. The valedictorian in 1953 was a fellow by the name of Melvin Martyr. My father always reflects back on him in a very, very emotional way. And he says that there are people who are great in learning, There are people who are great in secular studies. There are people who are great Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Then there are some people who have all of that. So Menachem Martyr had that, all of those things, and he was a natural leader. He was a unique, unique Oved Hashem. Menachem Martyr then went on and became a Talmud in Ner Yisrael. He became a Talmud of Rav Ruderman. He brought my father, maybe well, to Ner Yisrael. And then he came to Mir Yeshiva over here, and he became the favorite, one of the favorites of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. And then, unfortunately, in the late 60s, he developed a massive brain tumor, from which he ultimately passed away, leaving a almana and a few yesamim. He was one of the stars of the Mir Yeshiva, was a unique koach. Now, in the process of the brain tumor, the doctors suggested a surgery that would remove the tumor, but would also remove a slight part of the brain. And they told him that they don't know what effects the surgery will have exactly on his cognitive processing. After the surgery, Reb Menachem came out. Everybody was waiting to see, would he be brain damaged? Reb Menachem came out with full faculties. But then he opened the magazine and he couldn't read. What happened was, this tremendous Talmud Chacham had lost all of the cognitive processing that relates to learning and studying. A few days later, he went home. He got on his ride to Mir Yeshiva, sat down on the bench, and began to learn Aleph Beis from the beginning. 4 years later, he passed away, but by that time, he was already starting to learn Eilu Metzius. Rabosai, is that what our learning is? Is our learning sincerely desiring to understand the daf that's in front of us? Or is it the chitzonius shebo in learning? Is it the flash? Is it the excitement? Is it an interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So many times, Talmidim skip over the basics. Are we really, really interested in understanding the Gemara? Or we want to be able to sound fancy in the sugya? Rav Menachem was able to be meyed that he wanted to be able to read the Gemara. The shtickl of Torah that they wrote over for him later on was only a reflection of that he wanted to understand the most basics in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are so many things in our learning that sometimes reflect the chitzonis. How many of us are really learning Mishnayos, are really learning Nach, are really focusing on reading the Gemara properly? Are we skipping steps? Are we jumping? Is there a shifa to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah? Or the learning itself becomes an expression of that chitzonis? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya, that the neshama, the essence in avoda, should be one that should be the focus of our elul, and it should be mamshich in our amelus b'Torah throughout the year.